I want to tell you about an exciting new resource for homeschool families. Are you looking for fun projects for your whole family? KiwiCo brings you fun and educational STEAM projects every month. So what's STEAM? Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And they have really fun kits for all ages that will teach your kids in the sneakiest way while they're having fun. Visit schoolhouserocked.com/kiwi today to find out how you can save 30%. Not only will you get great projects for your family, but your purchase helps support the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Visit schoolhouserocked.com/kiwi today. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so glad that you are with me again today. And as always, I am so excited about my guest that I have on. And I'm actually getting to co-host this one with Abby Ranella once again. And I'm always excited to have you on, Abby. Karen DeBuse, we have had you on a couple of times on the podcast. And as a matter of fact, the three of us did a podcast together several months ago. And we talked about the who, what was it? We talked about the who...
How,
right? Something like that of homeschooling. And we had so much fun together. And so we decided to do it again. And I'm sure we'll be back on again together. So Karen, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to talk with you guys again.
Yes, yes. So much fun. We've been sitting here chatting with each other as we've been getting ready to actually start hitting record. And it's just so exciting to hear what God has done in your life, Karen, over the past year. This has been a huge year of transition for your family because you've graduated your oldest daughter. She's now off at college. And so you're finding your new normal. And this is...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I didn't know there was going to be a new normal. Mm-hmm. So that's been, you know, I don't know. I went into this whole thing very naively, I think. But as we were talking before, maybe God was kind of protecting me a little bit, because if I realized how hard it was going to be, I don't know if I would have let her go off to college, but it's all good. And God is in control, and God has made it so clear that she is where she's supposed to be. But, you know, I've been saying on my podcast, and when I talk with homeschool moms, I'm going to be really honest with anyone who is going to graduate one and send them off to college just to prepare them. It's hard, and there's no other way around it.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to know that, because you're going to walk through a really difficult transition. Even though it's a beautiful and good transition, you're going to walk through it. But God has been with me the whole time. And so it's just another, you know, time to lean on Him and really to be a testimony for all He has done. So it's okay that it's hard, is what I'm saying. It's like, in the beginning, my husband was very much like trying to make me feel better. And I was like, I just got to feel all this. Like, I just have to cry. I just have to feel it, because there's no really easy way to go around it. And I don't think we're supposed to go around it. We're supposed to walk right through it. Yeah. And, but God's been good. We're finding our new normal now as me, the only girl in the house now, because my daughter's gone and I'm home with my three boys and my husband. Although I do have my chickens and my goats, who are all girls. So when I need a little girl time, I go out and play with them.
Nice.
I was thinking, when you say it's hard, the first thing I want to ask you, cause I haven't been there, you're ahead of us, but, one, do you have any advice? But I was thinking, like, to prepare for it, but the fact that it's hard is a testament to what you've done, because it shows your relationship with your daughter and how close you are, and that family bond and that family unit. And I think that I've seen women go through it before. Homeschoolers, it hits harder because we are so much closer and we've built these relationships. So I think, like you said, it's hard, but it's good. It's exactly how it should be, right? We are close like that, and it should be hard to let them go. But so for those of us that are coming up into it, because it's like this is terrible, but it's like my worst fear, but I know it's not a fear, because I know it's really what we're prepping for, right? That's what we're preparing them to launch. But do you have anything that we could grasp onto now to help? Or is there no way of making it easier?
No. Honestly, I was the first. See, what happened with us was she had never planned to go away to college. So I remember, it's so funny, last year in September, at this very time of year, we had started meeting. We in our area for the graduation, we have like a homeschool mom senior group that we sort of plan the prom. They had a prom and the yearbook and senior activities and the graduation. And we started last year in September getting together. And I remember at that time, the moms talking about, oh, this time next year, they'll be going away to college. And they were talking about dorms and all this. And I sat there and I remember thinking, not me. I don't have to worry about setting up a dorm and I don't have to worry about dorm shopping and I don't have to worry about any of that because our life is going to stay the same. Mm. She has already decided she's either going to go locally to college or take a gap year and we're going to let God lead us. But we had actually thrown away all of the paperwork for the college that she's at now because she had said she didn't want to go away and we were pursuing local college or gap year and waiting on God. And so I did not ever expect her to go away. And she was adamant that she did not want to go away to college. She wanted to stay home. So look what God does, right? Just like, I feel like he bookended my story because I never wanted to homeschool.
Right.
I think that was not us. We're not doing that. And I feel like it was almost like a mirror of the beginning of the story when I started to homeschool and I took this leap of faith and I trusted him and I said, this is crazy, but this is what you want. And then he far exceeded my plans beyond my dreams with the homeschooling journey. And I feel like that's what he did now at the end of this journey. I was like, we're not going away to college. That's not for us. I actually like poo-pooed the idea of additional four-year college a little bit. Like we're doing our own thing. And God kind of completely, we saw his hand. My daughter and I, we all know now this was his plan, completely changed the plan. And I had to send her off and walk in faith and not fear, just like I did when I took that step to homeschool. It's amazing how it mirrored the beginning of our journey. And there was a few times at the end of this year when she was graduating where I actually felt like I was drowning. And I was like, Lord, I feel so overwhelmed by this. I feel like I'm drowning. And I need to remember to like walk on water, you know, that you will have me walk on water. If I just keep my eyes on you. I looked in my journal from what I wrote when she was starting to homeschool. I literally wrote back then when she was 5 years old, Lord, I feel like I'm drowning.
Wow.
I need to take this step and walk on water. Wow. I mean, when I read that, I was like, I didn't remember. This is why I always tell moms to keep a journal. Right. I didn't remember that. And the exact same thing happened this time. And it was like, he was giving me this confirmation, like, look what I've done through these past 13 years. Just keep walking. And it wasn't easy, the transition. But like I said, my advice would be follow God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my advice for everything in life, obviously. Follow God, not your emotions, not what you want. Mm-hmm. We prayed this whole year when we didn't know what the outcome of the after homeschool would be. We prayed and it was just like with homeschooling. I literally gave it up to God. Like, you know, sometimes I'll say I do, but I don't. Yeah. I hold on to it. Like, yeah, I surrender this to you, Lord. I give this to you, but I really want what I want, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was the same thing with homeschooling. I surrendered it to him, even though it didn't feel good and it wasn't comfortable and I didn't want to do it. And I said, no matter where she goes, home, you know, stays home, goes to local college, or it's a gap year or whatever you want, Lord, I want to be in your will. And I submit to that. And I told my daughter, we are not praying about what you want. We are not praying about what I want. We are praying about what God wants. So I would tell you, when your kids are getting to that age, you need to really, really submit and surrender your children because God knows his plan is far better than ours, right? And it would have been easy and comfortable and it would have felt good to keep her home and to keep things the same way that we've been doing things. But that is not his plan. She is 18 years old. It is time for her. She has definitely has the foundation. She's going to be okay. You know, oh, my ear came out. It is time for her to, you know, have this faith of her own to walk now with him. And not have us there all the time. So it's been really, really, the transition, like you said, has been harder because we've homeschooled our whole life and we're a very close family. We do everything together. So getting used to that dynamic, but at the same time, in the beginning, when I was, you know, I was, I'll be perfectly real and honest, I was crying like I haven't cried in a long time. Like my face hurt one day. Like I wasn't just tearing up, I was sobbing. It's a true grief. You know, it felt like a grieving process that I would feel okay. Then I would see something that reminded me of her, you know, and I know she's still there, but it's a true grief of that whole part of our life is truly over. It really is. And for a family that, you know, we do our little like traditions and rituals and things like at night or on the weekend or whatever. And to just have that all taken away so quickly was hard. So there was a true grief that happened. But my husband said to me in that time, you have three other boys here, like enough, you know, you have to pull yourself together for them. And we still have work to do here. And then like a switch kind of the second we came on where I thought to myself, it's okay to be sad, obviously. It's okay to miss her, but it is not okay to try to keep things the same. It is selfish of me to not be happy. She is at a Bible college. She has wonderful friends. She has opportunities she would never have here. And she's like living the life, you know, and God's got her. I know that. So it's a really hard thing. You know, you talk about a parent really like sacrificing. I mean, here you really feel like you're just trusting and you're sacrificing all of your emotions and what, you know, what you want to hold on to, but it's for the best.
Yeah. I love
it's not
how,
for the faint of heart.
No, it's well, neither is homeschooling.
I know, I'm sitting here almost crying listening to this, just thinking.
I know, you know, homeschooling and parenting and marriage is not for the faint of heart. If you want to do it well. And, and I love that you're being so real. As a matter of fact, the very first podcast, Karen, that you and I did together, I think it was titled Get Real. And we were talking about, as homeschool moms, just being real with one another, because so many times we get on Facebook and we talk to our friends and we go to co-op and we put the smile on our face and we put on our best shirt and our best jeans and our best shoes and we curl our hair and we don't appear as we really sometimes are day to day. And we want people to think we've got it all together. And, you know, life is just merry and it's going on. And the reality of it is that life is really, really hard sometimes. You know, if people came into our homes and they really knew the struggles that we have on a day to day basis, and they're different for every family, I think it would be so, I don't know if refreshing is the right word, but it would, I think, make people feel like, oh, okay, well, I'm not the only one dealing with that. And I love that, you know, you can go before us and say, okay, here's how I've struggled with it. And not everybody has that struggle, but some do. And honestly, I told you, I'm not ever going to go through that, Karen, because my girls have pinky promised me that they'll live next door to me forever. So.
Never say never. We threw out all the paperwork.
Are you saying the pinky promises aren't going to work?
No, they might. They might. You know, to my daughter, like, it's such a good thing for her to see that this is all God.
Yes.
Because she was adamant that she wasn't going away. And even when she did apply to this school as a backup, just in case, I'll keep it as maybe an option. And then she literally saw how the Lord was like, just turning and turning and turning, was like, here's what you want, but no, I'm going to put you over here. And she looks back and we're like, could you imagine we listened to ourselves?
Right.
Could you imagine we listened to ourselves last year? Because, you know, she, I think, liked the comfort of home too. She never even shared her room before because she has three brothers, you know, and I don't think the idea of a dorm appealed to her. I don't think going away and leaving, she has a great group of friends here. She's very involved in everything. She's Miss Social around here. And she's on our worship team at church. She did not want to leave our church. That was her number one reason to not go away. She said, I don't want to go and leave church. I don't want to not be here on Sunday mornings for worship team, because she has a great team that she's with every single Sunday. And I thought, well, yeah, I don't, I can't imagine you not being here. But now that she's there, she's going to another church. She's like, we're going to visit her this weekend. She's like, oh, do you want to come see my church? I'm like, your church? Here. But it's an amazing thing because God is growing her so much. Like, who am I to keep her home to stifle her and make everything stay the same?
Right. Well,
and growing you too at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think when I talk to new homeschool moms, you give the whole, you know, oh, their gifts and their talents, and you can help them find those so that when they leave, they can God can be using those. And you say all that. But when I'm listening to you, I think, you know, I hold my kids very loosely, like they're yours, Lord. And I just want to teach them and train them to follow you and use their gifts and use their talents. But then when I hear you talk, I'm like, I think I'm holding on to that. I think I'm saying, well, yeah, I want to teach them that, but so that they can stay home with me, like to actually think that
launch
day.
And I'm not saying that going away is for everybody either,
no.
You know, but I
But God's plan is for everybody. Directed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
God changed our plan. If he wanted her home, then that's very well where she would have been, you know?
Yeah.
But we saw clearly how things would happen. That he just changed the plan.
That's amazing.
It's just incredible.
And so that then she could see it in her own life, because we always point to that. I want to go back to a little bit about your guys' initial one. I actually haven't listened to that, about getting real. And then how you said, just sharing the struggle. I think it is so special that you're sharing the struggle. Jesse and I did two different parenting classes in the early years. And I remember one was a mom and dad talking about how they did it all right and how amazing their kids were in the end. And it was just all the, here's the how-to list and follow, you know, and it was like, okay. And their kids really did turn out like exactly how probably we all would. And then we did another one from some parents who really shared everything they did wrong or the struggles or the real. And I tell you, at the end of that, we gained more from that one because it's so encouraging. When you hear other moms say, I did struggle. So that when I get there, I can say, man, I remember Karen really struggled when she sent off her daughter, but she kept going back to Jesus and she kept going back to the Lord, and that's his will and that's where we need to stay. And then we're going to see where you are then. But I think it's so important as moms to be getting real and to share with one another, not to put on, like you said, Yvette, put on our picture perfect face and go out there, because that's not helping anybody. Right. That's not encouraging. It really isn't even encouraging, to be honest. It's very discouraging.
Sure.
Right.
But to really just share our real life stories and how God worked through our own issues and struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about surrender, and that's, you know, what every part of our life should be about, surrender in every area, you know, homeschooling, you know, letting our kids go, of course, parenting and our marriages, everything should be about surrendering all of it to Christ. Because when we try to take control of it ourselves, we just mess it up. At least that's how it is in my family. You know, when Garrett and I say, well, this is exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, so often God's like, I have a different plan for you. My plan is better. And so there's a difference between saying we're going to surrender and actually surrendering.
Actually surrendering.
And it's hard to actually surrender. And it's hard to trust, especially when you can't see the outcome. You can't see what is ahead, but just trusting that he's got the very, very perfect plan. So we need to take a quick break, and then let's come back. And I want to talk about Bible-based homeschooling and a book that you have out, Karen, and some other things. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
If you're a parent, teacher, leader,
aunt, uncle, cousin,
who wants to pass biblical values along to children, the Bible for Kids podcast is just for you. Hosted by best-selling author Amy Parker
and author and co-creator of VeggieTales, Mike Naraki, the Bible for Kids podcast introduces listeners to the most trusted resources out there for helping to teach the Bible to kids.
Guests include authors, teachers, musicians, filmmakers, and more who dedicate their lives to creating excellent resources that do just that.
You can find the Bible for Kids podcast wherever you listen to podcasts or on waynation.com.
Karen, when I first podcasted with you and we talked about getting real, at the end of that podcast, we started talking about a new e-course that you have out. It's called Bible-Based Homeschooling. And at that time, I think you were you were still in the process of pulling the course together, and it wasn't even live yet. And you since have made it live, and I've actually gone through it, and it's phenomenal. When we started filming for Schoolhouse Rocked, we did an interview with a lady named Debbie, and she said, if all we ever had to homeschool our kids was the Bible, it would be enough. And that was so profound to me. I had never thought of that before. And after talking to her and then talking to you and you know, being in our ninth year of homeschooling, I have realized everything that we need to teach our kids is in the Word of God. If that's mm-hmm. all we ever had to teach them, it would be enough. And so mm-hmm. you did that, I know, several years ago, and you've now come out with your e-course, and now you're using Bible-based homeschooling again this year with your boys at home. Talk mm-hmm. about the e-course and kind of walk us through it, because it's so sure. well thought out. I mean, God has really given you an amazing vision for this. So take our listeners through what you do with the e-course.
Okay, so the reason I made the e-course was several years ago. I think my daughter was only in sixth grade at the time, and the rest were down to preschool age. We decided to use the Bible as our main textbook. I just needed a break from the usual curriculum. I felt like, I just wanted to really get in the Word with my kids. And that summer, actually, I was speaking at a homeschool convention, and one of the speakers talked about, you know, if he could go back, he said at age 12, I would just study the Bible at that age, just like put everything away and just take a year to really study the Bible. And that stuck with me. And so I thought, you know, we'll do that. Well, I'm going to try to do that this year, not just for the 12-year-old, but for everybody. And, you know, I thought it was kind of crazy at the time, like what, throw out curriculum and not use anything. But, you know, I really felt like God was telling me that this was where what he wanted me to do. And I kept thinking, I can't possibly ruin my kids if we're in the Bible like yeah. 6 hours a day, right? This can't be a bad thing. So I planned to do it starting in September, and I planned up until Christmas, because I thought that gives us 3 months. If it's going terribly, I can always bring books, you know, regular curriculum in later. But it was going so well that we ended up doing it for the entire year. And so since that time, at that time, I also started a webpage Bible-based homeschooling where I talked about our experience and I shared different resources. Because while we use the Bible as our main textbook, it's not to say that we didn't use anything else. In fact, we did bring in other resources. So we started in Genesis, and we started to study through all of Genesis. And so in that, for instance, say that creation week, we would learn about animals. And so I'd bring in other resources. Obviously, we, you know, watch videos or get books, or we would learn history, you know, ancient times. So there was just all of the subjects I started to find were woven right there. You obviously have Bible. I mean, obviously you have history, science, and geography.
Right.
But I was able to really pull out a lot of the language arts. Even we did all of our spelling words from the places we were in the Bible. We did all of our writing assignments from there, you know, reading the books out loud, reading the Bible out loud. We got a lot of reading practice in. So I really started to use the Bible as the foundation of everything we did. The only thing we used a separate curriculum was math, because I didn't trust myself with the math. However, I did find a lot of supplementary stuff for math, and probably could have taught math even, you know, that way. However, we didn't. So after I did that for years, people were asking me. I would talk about it at homeschooling conventions. I would do a whole session on it, how it looked, you know, scheduling, how we planned this out for a preschooler up to a sixth grader. And the most important thing I wanted to show people was not that how we did it, not even why we did it, but that the result was, it was a pivotal year in our family's life. It was the year that transformed our family. And since then, the Bible has not been a subject we check off mm-hmm. in our, you know, our list of subjects. Okay, we did the Bible today. It is the foundation of everything we do. Because since that time, we started using other curriculum again, other years. But the Bible became the foundation. There's something about studying the Bible with your kids where you're seeing something pop off the page, and all of a sudden your child points out something, and what does that word mean? And you're all looking it up together. There is something about studying the Word of God together as a family that changed everything that year for us. And so I tell people, no matter what you do, whether you use the Bible as your main textbook for a month, a year, like we did, or forever, The Bible needs to be the foundation of your family, right, of everything you do. That's where your standards are set. And that's where every subject should be learned through the lens of the Bible anyway, because right, God created history, God created science, God even created math, right? God created words, God created everything. And so everything comes from there. So anyway, for several years, I would speak about this at conventions. I would write about it, and everybody wanted a curriculum. How do we do this? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure about putting it into a curriculum, but I did put together an e-course this year, which is 20 videos that outlines how we went through each subject, the results of using the Bible that way in our family, like I said, and really encouraging families to keep the Bible as the center of your family, no matter what, whether you homeschool or not, right? The Bible is the center. And so the e-course has been such a blessing. So many families have signed up. They are, you know, wanting to see how we did it. And the most important thing I tell them is, this isn't something for you to copy. That's why I didn't want to put it into like a curriculum. This isn't something for you to copy how we did it, but this is to maybe give you ideas or to show you how it may look in your family. Every family is different. God has a plan for every family. So I encourage people in the course to pray about what God wants for your family. He doesn't want what the DeBuse family does. He wants something for your family, right? But it certainly can spark a lot of ideas, the e-course, to show people how to do it. And then with the e-course, we have a Facebook group. And that Facebook group, I go in there weekly and I share different topics, or I answer questions, and then people can talk all week long and ask questions. The cool thing is that this year I have a fifth grader, a ninth grader, and 11th grader. The ninth grader and the 11th grader, I'm doing high school stuff with them. But the fifth grader, he was a preschooler when we did this years ago. We're now using the Bible as his main textbook, and I'm loving it even 100 times more than I did back then. He doesn't remember all the stuff because it was preschool.
Right.
And so we've been going through Genesis together, and it is just amazing to me. We've been in Genesis 1 for weeks because you have
there's
the
so much
in there. You know?
You could stay in Genesis 1 for an entire year.
Yeah. Yes, totally. So, and if we do, we do, right? So I said to him, I didn't plan it out as much as I did when I did it back then. I sort of was like, we're just going to take it and see, like, I'll look ahead and see where we're at and gather resources. So right now we're on the fourth day of creation, the sun, moon, and stars. And we're literally spending the whole week this week on the moon, you know? Yeah. So we go on Answers in Genesis and get different articles. We watch videos, go to the library. So it's been really cool because he's seeing science, but then I'm like, isn't that so cool how it lines up with the Bible, right? Like the Bible is the one that is the standard. And if science is there, it has to, sometimes it doesn't line up. But when we see something in the science, I'm like, yeah, that's because God said so in his word, right? So it's been really cool to see how all of our verses tie in with, you know, the science, and we'll get to the history more as we get out of creation. But and then he's been doing writing assignments. I love to put together like creative writing assignments from there, you know, like pretend you're on the moon, what do you see, that kind of thing. So it's just been such a like a passion of mine to really use the Bible to teach my kids their subjects. And it doesn't have to be forever. Like, we're not going to do this probably next year, but it was a time for him where I thought, this is a great time for him. He's older now. He really wants to dig into the word, and we can teach all of his subjects right from it, except for math. We're still using it.
Well, I love it. It's so well done. Yeah. And what I love about it is that you do give several examples of how you can use the Bible to teach kids, but you can use any book of the Bible. I mean, you could do Romans,
yeah,
you can do
absolutely
Psalms. I mean, you can really use it with any book that you choose. It doesn't have to be Genesis, but you do a really good job of just kind of outlining, like, here's how we did it. And here are some ideas for, you know, you took your spelling words from there. You, like you said, you did creative writing, you do vocabulary. I mean, there, you know, obviously reading comprehension. There are so many ways that you can use God's word. And, you know, the Bible says God's word does not return void. And so, like you said, I mean, how can you go wrong in doing that? Right. And it's such a fantastic course that you've put together. We'll actually
link
back to that in the show notes, but really quick so that people don't have to go to the show notes, what is the website that people can go to find out more about it?
You can find the e-course at simplylivingforhim.thinkific.com.
Okay, we'll definitely put that link. That thinkific yes, is always a little like, when I first heard that, yeah. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah, it's so, yes. just the platform for yeah. the e-course. So.
Okay. Well, we'll link just, to that for sure.
It makes me think when that verse, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. So you seek, what you're doing essentially is you're seeking first and all these things, well, aside from, well, math could be, but your history, your science, your language, all these things mm-hmm. are added. So just, I want to ask a few questions if I can
sure.
to moms that maybe haven't heard. So are the resources, just so that they kind of know what they're looking at,
yeah.
do you put the resources in there? Or
So I go through in the e-course, there's a video for each subject where I talk about how we did it. Then okay. at the end, I have some downloads that are in there that has a resource list that mm-hmm. are things that you can find that we used. And also there's some free printables in there and that you can print out, you know, for scheduling or keeping track of resources and things like that. But I do include a list of, you know, some resources that we used, but there's so many out there.
Right. Probably because it's also different books that you're studying. So you'd need different resources. And then you get right. access to the Facebook group, right? So you can share and ask questions yes. in there to everybody with the
yes. And that was
amazing.
My intention that people could go in there and say, hey, look what I found or look what I found. Right. And they can share. And I go in there, especially as we're doing it now. And I'm like, hey, look at this video we watched today. Or, you know, I want to share this link that we read today. And I've been sharing a lot of what I'm finding because I'm finding yeah. things as I'm going along and I'm excited about it.
So I'm sold on it. I think that's awesome. And it comes with its own lesson plan book, which is the Bible, which is right. that's so there it is. It's all in one. It's all encompassing.
And I just want to say, it's funny that you said Matthew 6:33, because that is our family verse, our life
I
verse,
knew that.
Verse, my ministry verse, everything yeah. verse. So yeah, I'm glad that you can see that through the yeah. e-course.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, one of the videos that really struck me, and it's because I've talked about this. I've talked about it on the podcast. For those who just listened to my interview with Brian Osborne again, we talk about it on there. But you, in your math video that you talk about on the e-course, you talk about why math is important. And we've, you know, we've really come just become aware of the fact that math is so important because it shows the order of the universe and of God. And it shows that math, mm-hmm. God is a God. And you said this in your video, God is a God of absolutes. He does not change.
Yes.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like math is absolute, it will always be what it is. And it was created by God and for his glory. Math points our kids towards Christ. Which is why
Absolutely.
The whole, you know, even you look at the Common Core disaster that they've tried to implement with math, and kids are like, what in the world? This doesn't even make sense. Well, of course it doesn't make sense because they've tried to remove God from it.
They tried to change math. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't change math.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter how hard you try, you can't change mm-hmm. math because math is absolute.
And truth is truth.
Right. Truth is truth. And God is a God of order.
And it always points to God. That's right.
That's right.
The years where we were all like, oh, math, like my daughter, at least we didn't care for math right. that one time. We were like, oh, math. I'm like, look, God created math, right? And I always tell them 2 + 2 is always 4.
That's
it's
right.
not 2 + 2 is 5 today because I feel like it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that's the way our culture is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yep.
this is
right.
how I feel. So I decide
yeah.
that this is truth.
Yeah.
And math is such a good example. Like even doing astronomy with my son this week, the sun always rises. Like we look at the stars. The other night we're out there looking at the stars and we're like, these stars have been here, you know, as long as the earth existed in the same place. Like
yep.
they don't just say tomorrow the sun's going to be over there.
Yeah.
That star is going to be, everything stays the same.
Yeah.
And it's incredible to me how you see God in everything. And when your eyes are open to that and you look at subjects, history, no matter what subject, that God is the one who authored all these things. It just, mm-hmm. It just brings me, you know, into that place of awe.
Yeah.
And that's what I want for my kids.
Yeah.
And it's very humbling. It just reminds us, you know, in a culture, like you said, that we all want to be gods and do things our way. It's very humbling when you look at everything, all creation and all created order it's humbling that there is a God and we can't change the way the stars are aligned and we can't change the way, no matter how hard we try to change math, it's not going to work.
Right.
2 + 2 is always 4.
That's
it
right.
always is. I also like how this curriculum, some of the best science curriculums that are biblical based, what they do is you're reading the textbook and it points you back to the Bible. But I love the way you're doing it is you start with the word.
Yeah.
You start with the word and it shows you science and it shows you And that's really right. where we want to teach our kids is we start with the word, and there is where we will find anything that we need, all things for life and godliness, it tells us, you know, rather than let's go to the textbooks and then we'll throw in a dose of God here and there. So I'm can you right. tell I'm like really excited
yeah.
about it?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good point, Abby.
That is a great point. The things that are cool about it, you know, you look at it and some days you can have like a ton of history in there. And some days, like right now, we're just completely immersed in science because of where we are. And that's okay. You know, I've removed from my head when I do this that like today we have to do science from this hour to this hour and math from this hour. We're just right. learning yeah. and learning so much. Yeah. And, you know, I know at some point we'll get to be a little bit more history heavy or geography heavy. But right now we're mm-hmm. science heavy. And it's sort of just, you know, you let God teach you and you trust that God knows, and I'm not going to ruin my child if I'm spending all this time in his word. And this, you know, it's just been such a joy. So I'm thrilled about it.
Oh, I'm so excited about it. We have just, I've really enjoyed going through the course. And just so people know, because I want to just say this really quickly. Karen, you've not paid me to have you on the podcast to talk about it. I don't want people to feel like this is some kind of sponsorship. With Schoolhouse Rock, to the whole point of the movie and the podcast and the blog and our Facebook page and everything that we do that is centered around Schoolhouse Rock, we do it because we really want to encourage and equip Christian homeschool families to homeschool with excellence and mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. they do to point their kids towards Christ. And so I was like, I hope this doesn't sound like a sales pitch, you know, that we're going to get some kind of kickback from it. We're not. I don't want anything. Yeah. I just, you know, it's been a blessing to your family and it's been a blessing to our family. And so after I went through the videos, I said, we've got to share this on the podcast. I really want people to be aware of this because it's such a fantastic resource. We're over time, but very quickly, I want to talk about two more things really quickly, Karen. You have a new consulting mentorship program. It's mm-hmm. called the Homeschool Consulting and Mentorship Program. Can you give us just a brief, like, 1 minute yes. Yes. elevator pitch on what that is and what you're doing with it?
Yes. The homeschool and consulting and mentorship program is something I started because I have spoken at homeschooling conventions for years, and people will read my books. They'll send me emails. They'll ask me tons of questions. And after a convention, I'll speak and I'll get, you know, women or families coming up to me, and they have so many needs, and they want to talk and they need advice and they want somebody to listen. And 5 minutes after a convention or an email just isn't enough. So I started the consulting program thinking that I could meet with people virtually. And so I'm doing appointments for an hour and they're done over the phone or, you know, Zoom link or Skype or FaceTime, whatever works for people. And I feel like at this time, as I've just graduated one, that I feel like God has really set on my heart to encourage moms that are in the thick of it, that are getting to the high school years and are afraid, or the ones that are just starting out and they're so confused. I just want to be that person to be able to encourage them to follow God. I feel like after I graduated Grace, everything came into focus. All of a sudden I was like, all the things that I thought were so important about homeschooling weren't. And I saw what things really were. And so I feel like using my experience, and also I just love connecting with the people that I'm ministering to. And I wasn't able to do that, like I said, you know, 5 minutes after a talk or, an email, certainly not an email. And so I've just, for me, it's been a blessing to really just get on the phone and listen to people's stories and be able to provide advice, encouragement, prayer. Some people are doing it regularly, so I'm giving them homework, like verses to look up, and, you know, trying to just keep pointing them to the Lord. A lot of people don't have someone in their life that homeschools that gets it. Yeah. And so if anyone is interested in that, I am available for consulting. And like I said, not about really picking out curriculum for you. Some people were like, just tell me how to do it. I don't want to tell you how to do it, but I know the one who will help you to do it. And so that's always my mission in my ministry, is to point people to Jesus.
Awesome. I love it so much. And that, again, people can find out more about that on KarenDeBuse.com.
Mm-hmm. SimplyLivingForHim.com.
SimplyLivingForHim.com. I knew that. I was just testing you to make sure that you knew. And then one last thing, because again, we're over time, but I really quickly, you have a book out that's titled Called Home.
Called Home, Finding Joy and Letting God Lead Your Homeschool. And I wrote that several years ago. And then there was actually a second edition that came out back in 2016. And now that my daughter's graduated, I felt like, wow, I really have a lot more to say about this. So we just started a Called Home online book club. And the information is on my website for that as well. But that's just been such a blessing for me because so many people have read that book. And the point of that book, again, is to point people back to Jesus through all this noise of the homeschooling community. I just want to continue to point people back to Jesus, that he is the one who leads your homeschool. And I share in my in that book my journey of how I didn't want to homeschool, how I was up against a lot of odds to homeschool. And now looking back at what he's done over these 13 years, it just blows my mind. So that book is all about, like I said, letting God lead you, surrendering and submitting to him for your homeschool and your life.
So great. We will put links to all of those things in the show notes. Karen DeBuse, you can find her at Simply Living for Him. Abby, where can people find you?
AbbyRanella.com or Abby Ranella on all social media.
Okay. And then, of course, you can find me at SchoolhouseRocked.com. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for how you continue to pray for our family as we get through production on this movie. And now we're in post-production. God is doing amazing things. And we are so grateful for those of you who listen. It's always so much fun. I was talking to a friend at church the other day. I hadn't seen her. You know, we were gone for the whole summer. And so it's been a few months since we've seen her. And she said, oh, I've been listening to the podcast. And I said, oh, it's so good to know when people actually listen. Because then we know that someone is on the other side of this microphone besides my mom. Hi, Mom. So anyway, we're here to encourage you. If there are guests or topics that you would like us to discuss on the podcast, please email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com and let us know what you would like us to talk about and how we can best encourage you. And keep on praying for us and keep doing what you're doing. We love you guys, and we will see you back here next week.